May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Wall Street Journal had in their health journal an article that linked church attendance and health. Good news for all of you here today. It went on to say first that the percentage of Americans who attend religious services at least once a week is 27.5%. According to statistics of the University of Chicago's National Opinion Research Center. And they write, this is good news for the nation's health. A growing body of scientific evidence shows that Americans who attend religious services at least once a week enjoy better than average health and lower rates of illness, including depression. And perhaps most important, they conclude, the studies show that weekly attendance confers a significant reduction in mortality risk over a given period of time. Easy to say to everyone who is here today. A great public relations piece for the church in a health-conscious culture. And yet, we know that no poll, no scientific study guarantees life. There is always uncertainty. This is the last Sunday of Easter, a week before we adorn the altar in red for the Feast of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Scripture, this was a week of great uncertainty for those first Christians. Jesus had ascended before their eyes to the Father in heaven, and they must have wondered just how his physical leaving would affect their future. We know that they gathered in the upper room this week, frightened and waiting. And Acts tells us all these men and women were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. What is it to struggle to live between certainty and uncertainty as a Christian? The struggle between certainty and uncertainty. On Thursday evening, we celebrated the Feast of the Ascension, and we read, while he was going, ascending, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking toward heaven?" Maybe the experience of Christ disappearing from the disciples' sight is not as foreign as we might think. The disciples stood and stared in disbelief. Haven't we all done that at one time or another? Jesus is sometimes in our lives the now you see him, now you don't Savior. The difficult, suffering, uncertain times of our lives can be awful times of staring off into the heavens, feeling like Jesus has left you. These are the times in which we are lost. Lost until we allow Christ to take them from us, because we simply cannot bear these experiences and times alone. It is particularly in the letter of Peter that we are informed that the Christian life, our faith in Jesus Christ, will entail suffering. And yet, still, most of us are surprised, perhaps disillusioned, when it happens to us. The main thrust of this epistle is to demonstrate how Christians should cope during those difficult, suffering times, just as Christ suffered. Believers should not be surprised that they too will come into suffering. Jesus' letter, if you will, his discourse, if you will, that we heard read in the gospel, his final prayer with some rather, you know, at times very intertwined language that we find in John's gospel, not an easy passage to read, is Jesus' prayer for his disciples, for the apostles, because he knows that they are about to endure great suffering on his behalf. The cross is often not an easy way. 1 Peter 4:16 tells us, "Yet if any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear this name." Echoed in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, we've heard over these several weeks, where Jesus prays, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you." In both of these cases, the word glorify is uniquely linked to suffering, both Christ's and ours. What then is the good news on this last Sunday of the Easter season? The good news is that God became humanity in Christ Jesus, his Son. And because of that, God is uniquely able to participate in our suffering in life. The God of the Old Testament is, in fact, now in an entirely different relationship with humanity because of the incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection. That is why Christians interpret Holy Scripture through New Testament eyes. We have New Testament eyes. That's the filter that we see the Gospels in, that we read all of Scripture in. We know that God can suffer with us, be in that hospital room, at that graveside, experience your tears of desperation, know the depths, perhaps, of your depression, know the aching space of your loss. I have leaned on that belief, if you will, that theology, if you will, so many times as I have tried to be a comfort to someone who did not understand why their child was lying in a hospital bed close to death. That God was in that bed as well. When we have lived long enough, we come to know the times of uncertainty far outweigh in this life the times of certainty. It takes a while to know that. But when we've lived long enough, we know that that is true. Suffering and uncertainty are often partnered. Suffering and pain are experienced, and we may feel at times in our life swallowed up by a dark uncertainty. And I believe that there is only one way through this uncertainty, through this darkness, only one way to live in this place. And that is in the faith that God not only understands your suffering firsthand, God participates in it and God transforms it. God embraces you when you are suffering. Even when your pain is too much for you to feel God's love and compassionate touch, when you find yourself staring off into the heavens. Perhaps Julian of Norwich said it best when she wrote, "If there be anywhere on earth a lover of God who is always kept safe from falling, I know nothing of it, for it was not shown to me in my visions." But this was shown, that whether in falling or in rising, we are always kept in that same precious love. And so the disciples this week, in their uncertainty, go off to the upper room and they wait. And we too, in our suffering and uncertainty, must wait. And how we wait is critical. Our times of waiting must be constant prayer and faith. We must wait with hope. Priest and theologian Henry Nouwen, writing about waiting, has said, "Those who are waiting very actively. They know that what they are waiting for is growing from the very ground on which they are standing. That's the secret," he writes. "The secret of waiting is the faith that the seed has been planted, that something has begun." Active waiting, he concludes, means to be present fully to the moment in the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present to it. So today, God's word is to remember that between certainty and uncertainty in our lives is Jesus Christ. We wait in the knowledge that God is with us in our suffering and has begun in us a new seed that is already springing forth. This is the Christian faith. This is life. Amen.